Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. So let us praise the name of the Lord, singing together in hymn number 200. Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone. So let us come together before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. I will sing of the Lord's great love, and with my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we rejoice in the knowledge that your love does not fail. You are the God from everlasting to everlasting, and all things are in your hands. You work your will in the earth. And we thank you, Father, that it is your will to gather a people to yourself. And we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of him who is our great Lord and Saviour, who by his death and the shedding of his blood made remission for our sins, so that we, by your grace, may stand before you, accepted as your children. We thank you, gracious Father, that because we are in Christ, you do not look upon us and see us in our sin, but rather you look upon us and see the beauty of Jesus in us. Father, help us this day as we wait in your presence to see the beauty of Jesus in one another. We are so quick to make judgments and so quick to condemn. Heavenly Father, give to us your heart, that we may love one another even as you have loved us. For we are the people for whom Christ has died. And so, gracious Father, may we be the people in whom the love of Christ is seen. Heavenly Father, we confess our many failings before you, but we thank you that in your grace we are in this place, and we are your people indeed. So, Lord, hear us even as we bring before you those words which the Lord Jesus taught us to say: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this is a very special morning for us, because this morning we are commissioning afresh those who work within the Sunday school and the Bible class. And we want to take this opportunity of thanking them all for everything that they have done through this last year. Our children are all wonderfully obedient and attentive, which makes the work of the leaders and the teachers so much easier. But nonetheless, it is a work, and time must be given to preparation, time must be given to study, time must be given to prayer. And we thank you for all of the time that you have given. As our commissioning, I'm going to ask each one of you to stand in your place, and we will pray as a congregation over you. So, could I ask, first of all, Alison Bates to stand? And then Richard Bates. And Roxanne Boyd. And Gabrielle Buchanan. And Agnes Galloway. And Carol Gibson. And Janice McLean. And Anne McLeod. And Mary McCreary. And Sheila Robertson, and Neil Rawlings, and Sue Rawlings, and Fiona Shaw, and Deb Stark, and Stephen Toms, and Marilyn Ewer, and Nimmy Whitelaw. And so we're going to pray together, and I will say some words, but we're praying as a congregation. So we pray in fellowship one with the other for those who have served us as a congregation, and we ask God's blessing upon them. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for everything that is done in your name. And we thank you especially this morning for the teachers and the leaders of our Sunday school and Bible class. And we acknowledge their faithful service. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will continue to be with them. And as we commission them for another session, we pray that you will equip them and encourage them. We pray, gracious Father, that you will help them to be filled with love for the children and young people that they serve. And Lord, we understand that often there will be things to do that are tedious, matters of organization and of preparation. But Lord, continue to enthuse them, to be conscious that they are working in Christ and for Christ. And may your blessing flow through them to the children that they serve. And so, Lord, as they dedicate themselves to be servants to our children, we as a congregation would dedicate ourselves to support and to help in all things. And Father, we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may sit. Well, boys and girls, it is good to see you here this morning. I've got something to show you. And I want you to tell me what it is. No, I don't think so. Sorry? It looks like a puzzle, and it is a bit of a puzzle, really. No one knows what it means. It actually says something.
A message?
Sorry? No and yes. Which I'm sure is a great help.
Can I see it? Oh, I think I might
No, we know what it says.
Is it a name? Jesus.
Yeah. It's Jesus. Can everyone see it? Try not to look at the light coloured wood, but at the dark coloured wood. And it does help if you kind of close your eyes a wee bit. That does help. Can everyone see Jesus? No? J E E. Can you see it now? All the young ones can see it. All the old ones at the back can't see it. I'll come round. It's actually very clever, this. See it? At first you do not see it, and sometimes you can look at it for absolutely ages and see nothing that makes any sense at all. And I lent this to a friend who had it for a week, a whole week, on his mantelpiece, and still he could not see it, and he phoned me up one night about 11:45 at night. He knew I would still be up. And he phoned me and he said, "This is driving me silly. What does it say?" And I said, "Just look for Jesus." And he turned round and he looked for Jesus, and suddenly he saw it. When we come to Sunday school, when we come to Bible class, we will hear a lot of things about Jesus. We will learn of his coming at Christmas. We will learn of all the wonderful things that he did. We would learn of his goodness and his love. And still, we will not see it. It will be like a story that someone is telling us, and we can look and wonder, really, what is all this about? And then suddenly we see it. All these things that we have heard, and suddenly we see Jesus, and we know him not just as a story that we've heard, not just as someone that people speak about, but we will see him and we will know him for ourselves. And just like that, which is a terrible puzzle, until suddenly we see it, we will suddenly come to see Jesus himself. And we will come to see him and to know him, which is the most wonderful moment of anyone's life. So when you're coming to Sunday school, and I know we've been commissioning your teachers this morning, and I know that they are wonderful teachers, and I know that they are always very interesting and exciting, but I know what it's like to be a child and a young person and a grown up, and sometimes we do get a bit bored and we do get a bit fed up and we do begin to fidget. I look out in this congregation on Sunday mornings and I see all of the ones who are fidgeting and looking at their watch, examining their bits of paper. We are just like that. But what we have to do is look and to think, and suddenly we see Jesus and everything changes. We are going to sing again, and we are going to sing number 463, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Fairest Lord Jesus.
We are reading together in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. And let us stand together as we sing hymn number 125, Lord of all being, throned afar. Well, some of you may remember when you were young, when you were very young, just a little thing, and you cried in the night and wanted mummy or daddy just to come and to hold you and to watch over you. The keynote of our psalm is that word, watch. Unless you miss it, it is a note that sounds seven times in such a short psalm. Six times, obviously, to us, but also in verse 7, where our translator, for some peculiar reason, changes the Hebrew word watch to keep. But in the Hebrew, it occurs all of those times, seven times. It takes you and sounds and draws your attention. This is the word that the psalmist wants you to hear and to notice. And the word watch that he uses is a particularly concentrated watchfulness. It is like the watchfulness of the mother with her infant child in her arms. She is concentrated on caring for that child. It's the watchfulness of the shepherds who watched over their flock by night. It's the watchfulness of the watchmen who keep the city safe at night. It's the watchmen of guards who are watching their prisoners. That's the way it's used throughout the Bible. A concentrated watchfulness. And the psalmist is trying to convince you that if you are a child of God, God watches over you with a concentrated watchfulness. In other words, the psalmist wants us to understand that God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, in whom hands are all things, is preoccupied with watching over you. I want to pick out one or two things in the psalm. And the first is what the psalmist says to us about the conviction of God's care. And you will find that in verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What does it mean when he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills? Well, no one really knows. It might be the anticipation of the pilgrim who is going up to Jerusalem.
Or it might be the anxiety of the traveller who is conscious of the dangers that lurk in the hills, the wild beasts and the outlaws. Or it may be that he remembers that the high places are where pagan gods are worshipped. We do not know. Perhaps all of these things are going through the mind of the pilgrim. But whatever joy or threat he may face, he is convinced that his help is the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing for him to say. But then he makes an astounding leap. My help is from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that astonishing? The Lord who created the universe. And we know so much more about the universe than the psalmist did. But everything the psalmist said is true not only for him, but also for us. The God who made the heavens and the earth watches over me. And isn't that a wonderful conviction to have? The Lord who made all things in space and in time is preoccupied by watching over you. One of the lovely things about being in the desert in Israel is seeing the stars. There is no earthly light filtering in. There are few, if ever, any clouds. And the heavens are filled with the glory of the stars. And I can remember in the Sinai with my daughter Bethany when she was just 8 years old, and we lay on our backs and just looked up into the heavens, and it was wonderful. But it did make you feel incredibly insignificant. The glory of this universe, and what am I in comparison to this? I am like the grains of sand that we were lying on. But the psalmist is saying to us, that is not how God's people think. What the stars are saying to us is not how insignificant we are, but how significant we are. For we know that the God who made all this is watching over us. How important then are we? If he can build and maintain and care for the universe, isn't he able to care for us? In all the circumstances of our life. And so we should be able to sing with conviction those words that some of us learned in childhood. God who made the earth, the air, the sky, the sea, who gave its light, its birth, careth for me. God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, is he who, when life's clouds come on, careth for me. And so that is to be our conviction in all our troubles. My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Well, that is the conviction of God's care, but notice also the constancy of God's care in verses 3 to 4. He who watches over you does not slumber or sleep. Now that might seem strange to us, but it was a glory to the psalmist. Because all the pagan peoples around Israel believed that their gods did go to sleep. Even Ra, the great sun god, goes down to sleep every evening and the earth becomes dark. And you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel when the pagan priests are calling on their God to send down fire upon the sacrifice on the altar and no fire comes and they cry out to Baal to throw down the fire and they cut themselves and bleed and no fire comes. And Elijah just stands a little way off and mocks them. Maybe you need to shout louder. Perhaps he is asleep and needs to be wakened. They did believe that their gods would fall asleep. And that was the terror in paganism. The terror that your God would fall asleep and would not be caring for you. And so the psalmist says, "He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber nor sleep." When I was at university, I had a long essay to write on the poetry of Edgar Allan Poe. His first poem was just two lines. "Last night, with many cares and toils oppressed, weary, I laid me on a couch to rest." And I remember that night, if you know anything about Edgar Allan Poe, having immersed myself in his thoughts, "I lay down with many cares and toils oppressed." But when you lie down with many cares and toils oppressed, you need to remember, you need to consciously remember that your God never sleeps. And so you can sleep. You can sleep knowing that God never slumbers. His care is constant. And he will take care of your problems and he will take care of you. I know it's difficult when you have many cares and toils. You lay on your bed and you toss and you turn and your mind simply cannot be at peace. It's a good exercise at these times to remember who your God is. He is the God who is watching over you with a concentrated watchfulness. And he does not sleep. So like a little baby in its father's arms, you can sleep. And leave him to take care of everything else. Then notice the conviction. We've noticed the conviction of God's care and the constancy of God's care. But notice now the closeness of God's care in verses 4 through to 6. The psalmist is stressing how close God is to us. In verse 2, you remember he had spoken of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then in verse 4, he was speaking about the God of Israel. And now in verse 5, he's speaking about the God who comes up close and personal. The God of whom the psalmist can say, "The Lord watches over you." Isn't that an interesting movement in the psalm? The God who is concerned with the heavens and the earth, well, I can understand that. The God who is concerned for Israel and all his people, and I can understand that. But then the psalmist says, he is the God who is concerned with me and who is watching over me in his care, up close and personal. And he is watching and keeping. He is caring for you even when you sleep, when you are conscious of it and when you're not conscious of it. In the light, says the psalmist, and in the darkness, and even when fretful and distressed you become, he is never far from you. He is always close up and personal in his care. Doesn't that seem like astonishing arrogance? At least that's what Richard Dawkins called it. But he's not a thinker of any great note, though he thinks he is. But it can seem like astonishing arrogance to affirm that Jesus is watching over me. The maker of the heavens and the earth, preoccupied with little old me. It seems like arrogance. You know that there are 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, and God is concerned about me. It does seem arrogant. But Jesus affirms that it is so. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, says Jesus? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You can see the smile on his face when he says it. Well, some heads it's easier to count the hairs on than others. But even the very hairs of your head are counted. Such is the closeness of God's care of you. So do not be afraid. The conviction of God's care and the constancy of God's care and the closeness of God's care. And lastly, the completeness of God's care in verses 7 through to 8. This whole psalm began with a word. My help comes from the Lord. That's the word. In our translations, it's the Lord in capital letters to remind us that in the Hebrew, it is Yahweh, the holy name of God, the name that God gave to Moses and his people when Moses said, oh, I've got these tablets of stone and I have to take them back to the people and they will say who sent me and who am I to say sent me? And God simply said, you will say to them, I am, has sent you. It was the holy name of God, the name he gave and the name, as it were, by which he signed his contract with his people. And it rings through this psalm 6 times. Why that stress on the name of the Lord? Because he wants his people to know that it is not some impersonal process that is working in your life, but it is the Lord who has bound you to himself in covenant love. What's happening in your life just now? Oh, there are many pressures. There are things you're anxious about. There are things you're troubled with. There are people who are helping you. And there are people who are hindering you. There are lots of things working in your life and in mine. Some of them pleasant, some of them unpleasant. But in the midst of all of that, the great I Am, who has covenanted to keep you and bless you, will do so. Because the honor of his name is at stake. That's what it means in the Bible when it says, for his name's sake. And for his name's sake, verse 5 to 6, both day and night he will watch over you. And in 7 to 8, he will watch over your life and keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Verse 8 is wonderful. He will watch over you forevermore. That is the completeness of God's care. How are we to understand it? It sounds too good to be true. That from now and into and through all eternity, he will be watching over us with that concentrated watchfulness, that committed watchfulness, that covenanted watchfulness, that watchfulness that is up close and personal and filled with love and with grace and with everlasting joy. Does that mean that you will never be sick, or that you will never be injured, or no accident will befall you and no distress overcome you? These things will come to us in this life. That's why the psalmist is praying this prayer. But what this prayer is celebrating is the fact that nothing we endure will be able to pull us loose from the glue of God's love that binds us to the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Jesus put it? Jesus said, nothing will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and nothing shall snatch them out of my Father's hand. And that is the completeness of the Father's care, complete in all our troubles. Well, some devout Jews, you will know, have portions of the scriptures in a little cylinder called a mezuzah that they place on the doorpost of their home. And as they go in and out, they touch it. And some devout Jews pray as they touch it. And the words they pray are verses 5 and 8 of this psalm. I'm not suggesting that you go and get a mezuzah. But wouldn't it be good if we could print this on our mind so that it was there every morning and every evening, despite all our troubles, that we say to ourselves and remind ourselves of what the Lord said. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And we sing again in hymn 153, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. As we come to our prayers of thanksgiving and dedication, we are remembering in particular the Adair family. I think most of you will know that Elaine has died and that the funeral will be from the church at 2:30 tomorrow. I think that's correct. Is it? Yes. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your great goodness to us and for all of the ways in which you care for us. We thank you that you watch over us as a father watches over his children. And we thank you, gracious Father, that you have given to us the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may not only watch over us, but also walk with us. Grant us your grace, we pray, that we might know your living presence in all things and in everything that we do. Father, we thank you for your great love. And we thank you for the blessings of your people, that you have gathered us into the family and the household of God. And we are here this day as brothers and sisters together. Heavenly Father, teach us to love one another as you have loved us, that as the fellowship of your people here in this place, we will indeed be a fellowship bounded by the love of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, as we bring you our thanksgiving for all of your goodness to us, and as we come as a fellowship of your people, we would pray for the Adair family, and we ask particularly for Brian. We ask that your peace would be with Brian and with all of the family, that in the midst of sorrow, they would know the presence of him who shed human tears, who wept at the grave of Lazarus, his friend, and who is able to enter in to all of our sorrows. And yet, he is the Lord who brings hope to his people. He is a Lord who has one life and everlasting joy for the people of God. And we ask, gracious Father, that in all of our sorrows, that would be our hope and our strength. That those who are lost to us are not lost to him, but held in his everlasting arms. Father, we thank you for all of your many blessings, and we return these our offerings to you, a little of all that you have given to us, and pray that you will bless them and use them for the sake of the kingdom of Christ. So, Lord, receive these things and bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now we sing again in hymn number 486. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, his Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore.